To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, thumma amma ba'd. We continue our study of Surah Abasa. A couple of things that left my mind that I should have mentioned before. I think we should make a note of them before we go any further. The first thing, kalla innaha tazkira, in that ayah, we said that tazkira is the strongest possible word for reminder. And it actually is a word that once tazkira is done for someone, they can't help but remember. But a key word to note is, why does the Qur'an call itself a reminder? After all, a reminder as opposed to news or information or knowledge. Knowledge is something new. But a reminder is something old. You already know and you're being reminded. So if the Qur'an is new revelation, why is it calling itself a reminder? This is understood in the larger sense of the word because all human beings, they made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they came on this earth, that Allah azza wa jal is their Lord. Allah Azza wa Jal asked us, and this is recorded in Surah Al-A'raf, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. We bore witness, of course, why not? And so this is something we are predisposed to, the fitrah of the human being. We are pre-programmed to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, to seek guidance from Him. This is part of our nature. And we forget our nature, like the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith of Al-Fitrah. You know, kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah, that we find also in the Arba'in al-Nawawi, the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi. Every newborn is born on a predisposed fitrah. Allah calls it fitrah, fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha, right? The predisposed nature that Allah, you know, programmed or fashioned people into. Now this fitrah, basically the Messenger tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that over the course of the age, because of your culture, your religion, the religion of your family, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. They make him Jews, or they make him Christians, or they make him, you know, Magians or whatever. And these religions, all of them, people force those on you because of their part of your heritage. But in your fitrah, what is there? Islam. That is submission to Allah. So the Quran is calling back to your fitrah. It is reminding you of something that's already deep inside your heart. That's why it's called tazkirah. Now, who will benefit from the tazkirah? Who have something from their fitrah left. Imagine there's a little bit of light left inside you. The light of the Qur'an comes. These two lights come into contact with each other. This is called nurun ala nur, light upon light. But these people that were just described, they had no light. Allah said they have no inclination of cleansing themselves. They feel themselves free of need. They don't feel like they need a Lord, right? So they have no inclination of cleansing themselves. So if this most powerful of reminders has no benefit on them, then they're useless. Don't worry about them. Because there's nothing short in this message. You know, when you try to convince someone of something and they don't believe you, they don't take it from you, you figure maybe there was something missing in my speech. Maybe there's something I said that could have been said better. Or if I had a better message, they would have believed me. But Allah says, He gives the messenger confidence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't even think like that. Don't think that there's something in your message that's missing. This is tazkirah after all. This is the most powerful, possible powerful reminder there can be. So if one doesn't take advantage of it, it is nothing in you, it is in them. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whoever wants, they will make mention from it. They will take advantage of this reminder and internalize it. Now Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the elevated status. Why is it so powerful? Where does it come from? Why is it, you know, not even human form of tazkira? Now it's not even the reminder that a human being can give to another. This is divine reminder. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ. In these scrolls that are noble glorified, honored, mukarrama, from takrim in the Arabic language. Marfu'atin, they're elevated. Mutahhara, that are purified. These are all adjectives of these scrolls that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most scholars comment this is lawhun mahfuz, where the revelations are protected. So in other words, already the kuffar are being told, because the kuffar are listening to this too. Remember, this Makki Qur'an is da'wah to the kuffar also. They're listening too. So what they're learning is, the fact that you get to listen to something from this, you know, sacred, classified document in the highest place, the most secure of places, the fact that you are being honored, that you get to listen to it, it should be enough for you to come. But if even this doesn't have an effect on you, what else is going to have an effect on you? So this is actually a means of elevating the message and belittling the kuffar. Remember before we said, when they take the message so casually and the Messenger is so serious about giving it to them, it seems like they have the upper hand. Now Allah is giving the message of Islam and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the upper hand. بِأَيْدِ safara, it is at the disposal of, in the hands of a safara. Safara is an interesting word in the Arabic language. It means scribes. It means to, sifr actually means a book that unveils things. So these are the safara, the scribes that take record from the Quran or from the Lawh al-Mahfuz and then unveil it to the messengers alayhi wasalam. This is one interpretation of it. Some scholars commented this is all those who record the Quran, meaning the manuscripts of the Sahaba. They become safara. The manuscripts of the prophets like Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa that's recorded in the Quran, these are also safara. But the majority opinion is that this is the angels, and it's supported in the language also because of the next words. Kiramin barara. Barara is the giveaway. The word barara is the plural of bar, without an alif in the middle. And it's another plural of a word bar, with an alif in the middle. Now bar means goodness and means someone extremely good. It is the hyperbolized form of goodness. I mean, someone extremely good is bar. And then bar is someone good, but it's not as powerful as the word bar. Okay? Now the thing is, the plural of bar, good person, is abrar. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. That's the normal, expected plural of bar. But a more powerful plural is barara, what is used here. One linguistic opinion is barara is jam'u kathra and abrar is jam'u qilla. What that means is barara is multitudes in plural and abrar is not as powerful a plural. And that would be applicable to the angels because the righteous of the human beings are far less than the righteous of the angels because they're all righteous. So kiram and barara, they're entirely righteous. The vast multitudes of them are righteous. And of course, because bar is a stronger word, it's opined that this is the reason that this is referring to the angels. Wallahu ta'ala alam, that is the majority opinion though, that these are the most noble and the most righteous of the angels. So the people who get to handle this revelation, or the entities that get to handle this revelation, first of all, this is very high, it's very noble, it's elevated, it's purified, it's cleansed. Then on top of this, it's the highest ranked of the angels that get to, the scribes of the angels, and they are the most noble, barara. This is that same message that you are getting to hear, you people of Quraysh, you're getting to hear this. So if you don't take from it, it's your loss, nobody else's. The messenger shouldn't feel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even an inkling of grief over you. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal constantly would remind his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ. Are you going to kill yourself with grief? Are you going to overrun yourself with grief? Because if they don't become Muslim, إِلَّمْ يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, you know, if they don't turn to Islam, are you going to kill yourself over grief? The Messenger ﷺ can't help himself but feel that grief, because in the introduction of this surah we said he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. Allah is always, subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly lightening his burden, but still, it's still the weight of the world. It's still very, very heavy on the Messenger ﷺ. It is out of this concern that even with the munafiqun, when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, even for the hypocrites, when Allah said, even if you ask Allah to forgive 70 times, Allah will not forgive them, the Messenger said, I will ask more than 70 then, subhanAllah. Like, it's that concern for humanity that he had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now turn to the next subject matter. The small passage elevating the status of revelation, giving the upper hand to the message itself. Now come back to the matter of the human being. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَ. This is a way of very sharp critique and very sharp scolding in the Arabic language. May the human being be killed. May he be destroyed. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ is, you know, مَبْنِي عَلَى الْمَجْهُولِ الْمَاضِي. It's in the past tense and it's passive. Literally means the human being was killed. What that implies is, may the human being be killed. Or the human being has destroyed himself. مَا أَكْفَرَ. How incredible his disbelief. How amazing his capacity to deny. مَا أَكْفَرَ is, this is أُسْلُوبَ التَّعَجُّبُ. This is a format used in the Arabic language to express shock and amazement and anger at something. So Allah is saying, how awesome his kufr. How amazing his disbelief. How incredible his capacity to disbelieve. Another way that it's been interpreted that's a lesser opinion, because the language is very strong here, is that ma here is maf'ul bihi. What led him to disbelieve like this? What made him disbelieve in this way? Okay, so that's another way. Ma'mausula, it's been turned into actually. Not maf'ul bihi, mausula, it's been turned into. But the majority opinion is the first, at-ta'ajjub, the aslub at-ta'ajjub. What amazing thing, what was it that turned him into this disbelief? So two things in one ayah. He's been destroyed, the human being has destroyed himself with his relentless and incredible disbelief, his disregard, his ingratitude. Now if you turn to the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal showed us how horrible his disbelief can get. With whose example? You remember? فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah gave the worst possible example of kufr with Fir'aun. And in the next surah, he's speaking of the entire race of human beings who can follow that legacy of Fir'aun in denying the truth when it comes to them. And in that, subhanAllah, look at the contrast and the beautiful comparison between An-Nazi'at and Abasa that are paired together in this way. In An-Nazi'at, Allah says, Musa alayhi salam showed him the most beautiful, the most powerful of signs. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. He showed him the enormity, the enormous sign he showed him. And still he lied against it. He did kufr. How amazing is kufr? He could see that and still do kufr, right? In this surah, what has Allah showed them? He had showed them at-tadhkira bi-aydi safara kiramin barara. He showed them that amazing reminder and he still does kufr. So there was the staff of Musa alayhi salam. Here there's the Quran. And yet in face of both, the human being, look at him, he's destroyed himself. How amazing his capacity to still disbelieve. And in that surah, his disbelief had to do with arrogance. It had to do with arrogance. Here again, Allah brings back the subject of arrogance. Who does he think he is? Min ayyi shay'in khalaqah, the next ayah. From what exactly does he think he was made out of? From what thing, from what material was he created? So now the human being says, what does that mean? Min nutfatin khalaqahu faqaddara. From a dirty fluid, from that filthy fluid that people wash off of their clothes, that are embarrassed by it. That fluid, that from that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, min nutfatin, it is only out of that khalaqahu, he created him, faqaddarahu. Taqdeer in the Arabic language is a very powerful word. A word that is interestingly related to it is kharasa. Kharasa means to make a wild projection, like we do in the stock market in this country, right? To make a wild projection, okay? Or in the real estate, it's going to go up, it's going to go down. You wouldn't believe this. I used to go to business school in New York City, right? And in Midtown Manhattan, some of the most like priciest real estate, like some of the top Wall Street, brokerage firms downtown, these high buildings. I mean, a small studio would cost you like $9,000, $10,000 in rent. Like we're talking about like 400 square feet or something, right? And at the first floor of all of these buildings, psychic palm readers. Wallahi, on 55th Street and Madison Avenue, Park Avenue. I mean, these are the most expensive real estate in the world almost, right? And these psychic readers can afford themselves. You know why? Because these multi-million dollar executives, before they go make their merger deals or put their money in this stock or that stock, you know what they do? They go to the psychic reader, man. What color tie should I wear to the meeting? Or should my socks match my shoes or not, or whatever. This is how superstitious they are. This is kharasa, khars, right? To make wild projections. But then there's taqdeer. Taqdeer is to make a projection based on extremely precise calculation. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the human being, he took this clot, this fluid, and then he made taqdeer. How tall are you going to be? What color is your skin going to be? Are you going to have both eyes that work or not? What tongue are you going to, what language are you going to speak? How smart are you going to be? What part of your brain are you going to use? How long are you going to live? What are you going to eat? When are you going to eat it? What diseases are you going to have? Are you going to be cured of them or not? Who are your parents going to be? Who are your children going to be? What job will you have? What job will you use? What business will you run? What business will fail? All of it precisely calculated when you were this, when you were nothing. مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. He calculated his entire legacy. Put it all, precise calculation. SubhanAllah. This is part of our aqidah, taqdeer. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to this kafir, look, you've destroyed yourself. How amazing you can disbelieve. Look at where you came from. How pathetic your creation is. How I'm completely in charge of her creation and you can still be so obnoxious. So oblivious to all of this and still have the capacity to disbelieve. Look at this in contrast to Surah An-Nazi'at. There Allah put the human being in his place too. There he said, أَأَنْتُمَ شَدُّ خَلْقَنَا مِنْ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Are you tougher in creation? Or is the sky that we constructed? رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا. So we were put in our place by comparing us to the sky. Now we're being put in our place by reminding us where we came from. from that nutfah. SubhanAllah, in both of them Allah puts the arrogance of the human being down in two different ways. Then here he says, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. It is especially in the path, that path that the human being, that Allah facilitated for the human being. He made it easy for him. Ulama comment that this sabil is the passage of the child coming out of the womb of the mother. Did you open that roadway for yourself? Allah Azza wa Jal opened this path for you so that you can come in this world. How pathetic you are, you couldn't even go down this path yourself. Allah made that easy for you. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then the scholars comment, in addition, this sabil, this path that Allah opened, it's talking also about this guidance. That Allah made the path to guidance so easy for you. He gave you access to the messengers, the clearest revelations, the most powerful of reminder. He put the predisposed fitrah inside of you. There are so many ingredients all around you leading you to that right direction, the guidance. So much has been facilitated for you. How amazing your disbelief. How incredible your capacity to still kick all of this to the curb and move on with your life like it's not even there. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ. Then, after making that path easy for him, path into the world easy, path to guidance easy, that growth of one stage to the next in his life, all that easy for him, then after this, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ. Then he caused him to die. You're not in control of your death either. You think you're in control of your life, you're not even in control of your death. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then he made sure he ends up into the grave. He had him placed in the grave, فَأَقْبَرَهُ. After he died. Now, qabr in Arabic is to be entered into the earth. So whether you're cremated and your ashes are scattered in the, you know, in the ocean, or you're, you know, you want to feed yourself to the sharks or whatever you want to do, in the end, all creatures will decay, and where will that decay go? Into the earth. It will be entered into the earth. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Whether you have a proper grave or not, whether it's concrete or whatever, in the end you will be reduced back to this earth. So you came from something pathetic, nutfa, and you will be reduced to something that you wash from your clothes, dirt. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Allah puts the human being in his place, subhanAllah. And then he says, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ. Thereafter, much after this, when he's even gone in his grave, then there, what's going to happen? Whenever he wants, إِذَا شَاءَ. Not شِئْتُمْ, not when you want, when he wants. أَنْشَرَهُ. He, and this is in the fi'il madhi for tawqeed, and for emphasis, or for actually, what's the word? Conviction. Right? Or certainty, actually. Certainty is the right word. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Whenever he wants, he will raise him right back up all of a sudden. إِذَا here, for immediacy. Immediately he will raise him back up, no process necessary. You see, for our growth, from a baby to an adult, there's a process. But in our resurrection, is there a process for us to grow back out? No, it's immediate. One shot. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. So all of this that he took time to do for you, and if you better get your act together, because the time's coming when you're decayed completely, he'll resurrect you back up again. In the Arabic, especially in the Quran at least, for resurrection there are three words used. Ahya, to take something dead and bring it back to life. Ba'atha has two things in it, to raise something and to send something forward. So it not just means that Allah will raise us, but he will gather us and send us forward towards the place we are supposed to meet. Nashara literally means to spread. Like Dashar al-Mayyitu Nushuran is a phrase in the Arabic, right? That the corpse has been dispersed, meaning its decays, its remains are spread into the land, right? They don't remain intact, they spread out, right? Allah says he will raise you and then spread you out, meaning all human beings will spread out and eventually gather into that land, into that field, Hashar, where we're supposed to gather, subhanAllah. So, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal again says, كَلَّا, كَلَّا. No, not at all. And it is certainly true what Allah is about to say. لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَ. He has not yet done justice. He has not yet fulfilled. Qadha in Arabic is to do a responsibility and to do it in a way that you are no longer responsible. You're done with it. Okay? You had to deliver this one thing one time. You did it. Your job is done. You're no longer held responsible. This is qadha. Okay? So Allah says the human being did not fulfill his duty up until now. Meaning humanity has been on this earth for so long, and all this time for the human being to get his act together up until now, lamma, not lam, but lamma, not yet. And has taraji, still there's hope for you. Just in the word lamma, there's still hope for you. That what he was commanded to do, he did not. His Lord commanded him, amarahu, what he, meaning Allah, commanded him, he did not yet fulfill. Still yet, after all of these facilitations, after all of these reminders, he still hasn't gotten his act together. SubhanAllah, it's a very powerful reminder towards the end of this surah. After hearing all of this, there's still hope for you. You haven't done it yet, but there's still hope for you. لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in, again, positive reinforcement, if this, all of this reminder isn't enough, let me give you something more that will put this benefit, this message over the top. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Then let the human being look carefully and stare at his food. Stare, literally stare and look and observe his food carefully. Stare at the food on your plate and stare, just think about it. Just stare at it. Why is Allah wanting you to stare at it? To remind you that you have responsibilities. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَ فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. The human being did not fulfill. He did not fulfill the obligations due to him that Allah had commanded him with. Let him take a look at his own food. Now what does he mean by that? Look at the things Allah is going to mention now. By the way, ta'am in Arabic, as opposed to akl. Akl is any kind of food. Ta'am is food more particular for human beings. Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba. So you're looking at this orange or this grape on your plate that you bought from the grocery store. Allah says he poured water down, abundant pouring. Sab is actually literally to take a bucket and pour it over somebody. Right? So Allah pours buckets of rain. Right? It's even in English expression, right? Allah pours heavy, heavy, heavy rain. That we pour rain, water upon water upon water. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. It is we who send that water down. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. Shaq in Arabic is to cut open something or to rip open something that isn't, you don't think of cutting or ripping open certain things. When you cut those kinds of things open, then shaq is used. For example, in the Quran, Allah uses shaq for the sky. You don't think of cutting open with the sky. Allah uses inshiqaq for rocks, because you don't think of cutting a rock open, right? Or the earth being cut open. And so these are grand things that you don't necessarily, you think paper, cloth, right? These are, or skin cutting open. These are the things you expect to cut open. But Allah says He cuts the earth open. He tears it open. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. Once again, look how this is tied back to the previous surah. There Allah alluded to something. In the previous surah, in An-Nazi'at, He said, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. He alluded to it, that He smoothed the earth out for you. And then after this, He brought out from it the pastures, right? He brought out the water of it and the pastures of it. Now He's being more explicit. He's taking those ayat, it's like those ayat, the tafsir of them is coming here in the next surah, right? So He said, ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. When we cracked it open, when you ripped it open, we sprouted in it. And we allowed the growth of habban, grain. In bat actually is to ensure the growth of something meticulously. And this also used for a child that is being raised that matures quickly. فَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. So it's used for example, Maryam salamun alayha, same word is used. Just like you take care of a plant and ensure its growth, and if you do so, it grows quickly. Her maturity came quickly. So the word imbat is used for her. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَبَّا. Now notice, the most important vegetations are mentioned first, hab. Grain, that's the source food, basically, okay? And all kinds of grain are included. Actually, what's interesting is in old English, corn was, actually, the word corn was used for grain. In Old English, it was used for grain. So some of the older translations of hub say corn, but they don't actually mean corn like what we eat corn now. They mean grain from Old English. So it needs to be updated to grain. Anyhow, وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. عِنَب is actually grapes. Qadb is all kinds of green, all kinds of vegetations. So, you know, carrots, cucumbers, etc., etc. Mostly vegetations that grow under the earth come under qadb, so that the animals eat the top part of it, the green, the leaves, etc. of it, and the human beings enjoy the part of it that is underneath the ground. So, وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And then, on top of this, something that the Arabs were all too familiar with. Zaytun is the olive. And nakhl is the date. The date. These are luxuries. This is the most, so it's moving from essentials to more luxurious and exotic kinds of foods. And then, وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. Speaking of exotics, حَدَائِقَ. You know, well-guarded, completely covered up gardens. Ghulba, that are thick. The trees of them are very, very thick. It's the plural of aghlab. It's the jama' of aghlab, ghulb. And this is an adjective that occurs. Hada'iqa doesn't have tanween on it. You notice hada'iqan is not there. Hada'iqa is there. The reason that is there, because some jama' taksir, some broken plurals, especially to make it easy, the ones that have alif in them, you cannot put tanween on them. You can only put fatha on them. But ghulban doesn't have that problem. Anyhow, wa hada'iqa ghulba. And gardens in which the trees are thick, the barks of them are thick, and their branches are intertwined, so really lush kinds of gardens. وَفَاكِهَةً. Fakiha is used in Arabic for delicious fruit. Ancient Arabic uses it for delicious fruit. Fakiha in Arabic means to be overjoyed. And literally, for the Arab, when he eats delicious fruit, what happens? Ah, Tastes good, you know. Even happens now. You eat a good orange, a good apple, a smile on your face, right? So that's why they're called fawakih or fakiha. And fakihin also used for people in Jannah. They'll be overjoyed. Every time they take a bite of something, there's a big smile on their face. So fakihina bima atahum rabbuhum, right? Anyway, fakiha. Also, some scholars comment that fakiha excludes dates, pomegranate, and grapes. That it excludes certain things, but it's mostly used for others. And that might explain why aynaban wa qadban and others are mentioned earlier too. Wa abba. Ab is used for grass. Typically grass, pasture, and most general kinds of vegetation that all animals enjoy. So of all of these things, the most particular for animals is one. Which one? Abba. Abba is the one most particular for animals. Most of what has been mentioned is for human beings. Now you will find other places, very interesting in the Quran. The Quran is very, very, very subtle in how it addresses things, even at the minutest level. Here, because the priority was given to human food or animal food? Human food. Other places you will find zar'an mentioned. Zar'an is animal food, crop. Animal food first, okay? Where animal food is mentioned, Allah will mention, when He mentions mata', He'll mention the animal first and us second. Here, the priority is us. He says, mata'al lakum wa li an'amikum. It is provision, things to use for you and also for your cattle. So the cattle have been put in a secondary position because the passage preceding puts them, their food in a secondary position. And that's part of the intricacy of the Quran. Now you can think of that kind of intricacy when you're speaking or when you're writing something. You can say, oh, I should rearrange this and make it more fit with the paragraph before. But the Quran is not written first. It is revealed to us in what? In speech. In speech, this is in itself another indication that this is not the word of a human being. Human beings cannot think, in my sentence, I should organize this A and B and C because in the previous paragraph, I had something related to A first and something related to B second and something related to C third. We can't think at that level when we speak our sentences. We can't. But Allah Azza wa Jalla executes this kind of intricacy in His words, subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَتَاعَ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. So now, previous passage was a threat to the human being. Negative reinforcement. How dare you disbelieve? You're going to be ending up in your graves. You still disbelieve. All this path has been... So it was a scolding from Allah. But then at the end, towards the end, Allah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَ. He didn't yet do justice. He didn't yet fulfill his responsibility. In other words, there's kind of hope. When there's mention of hope, there's positive reinforcement. So notice, think about your food. Pay attention to your, you know, all these things that you enjoy, that these are provisions for you and your animals. So your gratitude should lead you to Islam. Not just your reflection over the revelation, not just on your own self, even just your gratitude over the food you enjoy should lead you to Islam. A second line of argument has been introduced, subhanAllah. Then finally, even if this is not enough, now you need to know, why should you become grateful in the end? The indhar. So there's different kinds of warning, but the final warning is coming now. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Another parallel with the previous surah. In the previous surah we read, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. And I'll tell you why Al-Kubra was used there, some of the beauties and intricacies that I didn't tell you then, I plan to tell you this time. You see, in that surah, Fir'aun said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. He had kibr. He had kibr. How did Allah destroy him? Allah surrounded him with water. Allah gave him a tamma. Tamma is a kind of destruction, a calamity that surrounds you from all sides. But in retrospect, that calamity is nothing. There's another calamity that's coming that's going to surround people from all sides. It's even bigger than that. So he says, At-tamma al-kubra, in that context. Here, the surah began with a discussion of people that are arrogant, that take the message casually, that listen but don't listen. Basically, they listen but they don't listen. And then there's the one who really wants to listen, right? Now Allah Azza wa Jal concludes this surah with a threat. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. When that scream comes, a sakha is a loud sound or a scream that is so loud that whoever comes into contact with it, whoever's ears it falls upon, they turn deaf. It's a deafening kind of loud scream. So you can avoid the sounds now of warning. You can avoid the message now, but a sakha is coming and you're not going to be able to avoid that. So it's sort of a poetic tying together of how the surah began, subhanAllah. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day on which a man, mar is used for a man, and we'll talk about the difference between mar and rajul in a sec, inshallah. The man will escape or run away from. Now, there are different words for running in Arabic. Rahaba, you know, abaqa, farra. Farra is used when you run away from something that terrifies you. Farra is used when you run away from something that terrifies you. So if you were just going down the street, there's a wild dog drooling, you know, and it's coming at you. When you run this time, this is farra. When you're jogging, this is not firar. Okay? When you're running from the spears of the enemy, this is firar. Okay? Now, yawma yafirru al-mar'u. The human being will run in terror. Terrified running. From who? Min akhihi, from his own brother. He'll see his brother, he'll be terrified of his brother and run. Now, when you're terrified of someone, where do you find protection? With your brother, with your mother, with your father, with your family. In other words, you run from danger to these people. Allah is flipping their scenario and saying, the day on which the human being will run away from his own brother. يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Run in terror from his brother, subhanAllah. Why is this? Number one, your brother or your family, some scholars comment, is very, very powerful. The family is the one you stay in contact with the most. Human beings deal with each other. Who do they deal with the most? Their own family. And when you deal with someone more, you have the chances of violating their rights more and more and more, because you deal with them more. So it's easier for me to be nice to someone I've never met. Hard for me to be nice to my cousin, because whenever we talk, whenever we get together at Eid, we get into a fight. Whenever my mother calls, my dad calls, he says something, I lose my cool, we get into it, right? So people violating each other's rights, where does that happen more? In the family. It happens more in the family. Husband violates the rights of the wife, the rights of the child, the rights of the parents, the rights of the brother. So when he sees one of them on the day of judgment, are they going to say, oh, you're my brother, it's all good, it's family, let it go, it's all good. No, nobody cares. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. All relationships will be cut off on that day. Nobody cares about anybody else but who? Themselves. Right? Allah describes the terror of that day. يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Every breastfeeding mother will drop whatever she used to feed. Allah didn't even say baby. He said whatever she used to feed, as though she doesn't even know what that is anymore. عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Not طِفْلِهَا. Right? عَنْ طِفْلِهَا. Not even that. SubhanAllah. That's how powerful that day is. So when he sees his brother, he says, oh my God, I violated his rights. And I don't need to be dealing with him right now. And he's making firar. And now he runs from him. Who's the next thing he's running from? Wa ummihi. Wa abi, his mother. He's running away from his mother. He's running away from his father. And the other thing to run away from, the brother might say, you're my brother, give me some of your good deeds, man. You know, we're from the same mother. The mother might say, I gave you birth. Give me some of your deeds. The father might say, I provided for you. I paid for your college education. Let me have some of your salawat. Let me have some of your prayers. But no, he's running from them. And then وَصَاحِبَتِهِ. And his own wife. They shared a bed for many, many decades. And now he's running from her like he's terrified of her. SubhanAllah. وَبَنِيهِ. And this child that he used to protect. This child that he would never lose his sight of. The pictures he would put in his office right next to his computer. Can't let go of the sight of this child. On this phone, little pictures of the kid. Right? This is my son. Pictures of the wedding of your son. Pictures of your grandkids. What people love the most when parents are separated from children? Guess what they want the most? They look forward to the time when they get to visit their children. This is what they live for, basically. To get to see the children. They die inside when they're not with their children. And here's the day when the parent is running away from his own child. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. The irony of this day, how everything's been turned around. Imagine this, subhanAllah, in our time, when there's a loss of family, especially if husband and wife are married for a long time, and the husband passes away, or the wife passes away. Look at the kind of, you know, trauma that the husband or the wife go through, the loneliness, the sadness that they have, right? And you know, in Christian discourse, it's become common, even Muslims start thinking like this, oh, I'm going to see them in heaven. Right? They have this whole thing, oh, they're up in heaven, they're waiting for me, and we're going to be together. Before heaven, let's worry about the day of judgment first. And on the day of judgment, you're not going to be holding hands saying, let's go through this together. You'll be running from each other. SubhanAllah. The picture Allah paints, it's so graphic, it's so powerful. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is reminding, you know, in the beginning there was istighna, I don't care. There was this lax attitude about this message. Ah, nice speech, thanks. Right? But at the end, Allah is basically reminding the people why this is so critical. This is not a joking matter. This is not something to take lightly. This is not intellectual exercise. This is a serious, serious matter. So serious, when you realize that, you know, what the consequences of that day are, you'll be running from everyone you loved. People you used to run towards, you'll be running away from. Now here's the thing. The parallel of this in the previous surah. SubhanAllah. Allah Azza wa Jal there, he said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَىٰ يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَىٰ. That day, the human being will remember entirely everything he worked towards. All the efforts he made, he will remember them in full. So when he remembers everything he did, he will not care about anybody else but his problems. That will lead him to run from others. Here we find, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. This is a difficult i'rab. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ is actually the khabr, or متعلق بالخبر. شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ is the mubtada, it's later on, the subject predicate has been shuffled. And يَوْمَئِذٍ is here, ظَرْف. It's the, I know it's grammatical, but some of you, inshallah, will learn grammar and this will benefit you one day. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay. So يَوْمَئِذٍ is ظَرْف. It is the related to the sentence. The shuffle of this means even the, for every last person, I didn't give you the meaning of mar. Im al-mar'u, right? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ and then imru'un here, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. This word is the same. What this word, as opposed to rajul, rajul means a man where manhood or bravery is highlighted. Imru'un comes from muru'a, chivalry, selflessness, nobility of a man, where he's willing to give up part of himself for others. Ma'am, let me get those bags for you. Let me help you cross the street, right? Let me carry the furniture, not you. You stay back, right? When men do that, they're expressing their muru'a. Allah says, this mar, who was so chivalrous and so noble and dignified, what's he doing on that day? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ From every one of them, what's he going to do? يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ On that day, there will be a sha'n. Sha'n is an issue, a matter, an affair that is very, very important. That's very important for you and it's appropriate to you. For example, this word sha'n is used for Allah Himself. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي sha'n. Right? It's used for Allah. Every day He is involved in an important task. In some kind of important and befitting task. Allah says, on that day, every single person will be involved in such an important task. What is that task? Remembering what they worked towards in the previous surah. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. Right? They'll be so involved in that task will have the effect, يُغْنِيهِ. And this is again beautifully contrasting istaghna, amma man istaghna in the beginning. Same root, yughnihi. Yughnihi means something that is so important and it makes you so obsessed with what you're doing, it makes you forget and not worry about anything else. Some of you are programmers, you've got a deadline tomorrow and you've got like 20 pages of code to write. You're sitting there writing, your child comes and says, look at my artwork. Dad, I drew this. You care? Yeah, beautiful. You know? The wife says, dinner's ready. Yeah, okay. 4 hours go by, you didn't need dinner. Because you have ighna. You everything else, you're not worried about right now. Everything becomes unimportant when this is important. Allah says, on that day, people will be so engaged in an important matter that everything else will become unimportant. How is this a contrast from the beginning? In the beginning, we saw the attitude of the kafir, who to him, this message is unimportant, everything else is more important. That's why he has istighna, amma man istighna. Subhanallah, on that day, he will not have istighna. On that day, he will have something to deal with that will make him have ighna of everything. It will make ighna for everything else for him. It will make him unconcerned about everything else. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ Some faces, especially on that day, they will be lit up as though a smile was hiding inside a veil and it's been unveiled. Safara is actually in the Arabic language to unveil. And you know, here we read, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَ Same root. Because books, large books are called safar because they unveil knowledge. That's why they're called safar. Okay? Sifr, also a book that unveils important information. Safir, you know what safir is? Anybody know what safir is? It's an ambassador. Why? He's called safir because he unveils the intent of his king or his country. He unveils, he divulges information. Unveiling. Safar is also travel, right? It's called travel. Travel is called safar because it unveils new territories and new lands for you, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla describes a believer basically implying here that he lived a life maybe of difficulty. Okay? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ Allah created the human being in toil and hard work. And the believers, you know, Allah says about the believers, زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا You know, for those who disbelieve, worldly life, this worldly life was beautified. And they poke fun at those who believe. So they hear difficult things. Even the Messenger of Allah. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكُ You know, we know that your chest becomes tight. بِمَا يَقُولُونَ Because of the things they say. So even the messenger's feelings are hurt, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though we know most of the time he was smiling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But you have this difficult life of a believer as though their smile has been veiled. Allah says some faces on that day will be unveiled and the brightness and the smiles will be revealed. Meaning now they have all the reasons to smile. There's no problems left anymore. Wujuhun yawma idhin musfirah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. May Allah make us from them. Dahikatun. Not just lit. Not just full of light. Dahikatun. Dahika means laughing. Uncontrollable laughter. You know there's smiling. Tabassama in Arabic. Tabassama is to smile. Dahika is to when your teeth show and you can't even help it and there's a noise with your laughter. That's the kind of laugh some faces will have on them. Now if you notice, the previous surah was a description of the hearts. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٌ. There was a description of hearts. Now, and then the eyes. This surah, description of faces. So it's complementing. What's going on the inside and what's going on the outside, the appearance. It's complementing the two scenes, subhanAllah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Istibshar is an interesting word in the Arabic language. It actually means to be full of delight because of a good news that comes to you. It comes from bishr, which actually means skin. And bashara actually means to peel skin, like peel skin of an orange or a banana or whatever, right? Istibshar means you're so happy as though the happiness was inside of you and you were waiting for this news and this news was like, it peeled the sadness off of your face and now the happiness has been revealed. This is istibshar. So the happiness will be, it was unveiled and now it's unpeeled with mustabshira. Dahikatun mustabshira. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. And some other faces on that day, they will have غَبَرَةٌ on them. غَبَرَةٌ in the Arabic language is dust that's flying around and it lands on things and settles on them. And it's hard even to wash off. Okay, and so the idea of being that غَبَرَةٌ, this clouds of dust have basically come on the face of a person and they look dirty and disheveled. Okay, so some faces will have that look on them. And this is not just even physical dust. Imagine the sadness and the depression on a person who doesn't even have literally dust on him, but just because of the sadness of that day and the pressures of the day, it looks like his face is covered in dust. It's blackened by just depression. That the tone of his skin has changed because of that terror and that sadness of that day. تَرْهَقُهَا قَطَرًا. By the way, before I go on, just something for your vocabulary benefit, inshallah. In Arabic, in Quran, we find different words for dust. This is غَبَرَة, cloud of dust and settling dust, right? There's نَقْعًا. نَقْعًا فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا in Surah Al-Adiyat, right? This is a cloud of dust. When horses run really fast and they leave a cloud of dust behind, that's called نَقْعًا. Then there's the word هَبَاءً. هَبَاءً is used for very, very, minute kind of dust that you can't even see. Okay, the only time you see it is when the sun is shining in your window and you see that barely visible, right? That's haba'an. Allah says the kuffar will come with their good deeds. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We will turn it into haba', spread out haba'. When they come with their good deeds, they will come with what they think is a good pile of good deeds. Allah will turn it into not even ghabara, not even naq'an, but haba'an, nothing. You can't even catch it. It's like fibers in the air. You can't even catch them, subhanAllah. Then at the end of the surah, تَرْهَقُهَا قَطَرًا. Rahaq in Arabic is of something forcefully overshadowing or climbing over something else. This is called rahaq. So Allah says, قَطَرًا, whatever this قَطَرًا is, will climb over their faces. It'll climb over them. Now what is this قَطَرًا? قَطَرًا is used for smoke that comes out of burning wood. It's also used for smoke when you're cooking something or barbecuing or something, black smoke that comes out of fire. Okay. Interestingly, the Arabs have a funny sense of humor. They call, a cheap person, they call him qatir. Qatir, not qatil. Qatir, with a ra at the end. Now, why do they call him qatir? Because when he invites you to his house, you smell or you can see the smoke of the food, but that's all you get to see. So you don't really see anything else. So he offers you some water and sends you off, but you experience the smoke at least. So he's called qatir, right? So tarhaquha qatara, that this black smoke will climb itself on them and they won't be able to take it up. It will force itself on them. So there's dust, and piled on top of that dust is black smoke. Subhanallah. Tarhaquha qatara. Ulaika humul kafaratul fajr. Those, in fact, are the ones that are the worst kinds of deniers and disbelievers. Ulaika. Now, who are these worst kinds of disbelievers? Go back to the beginning of the surah. Amma man istaghna. The one who thinks he's free of need. Amma man tagha wa athara al-hayat ad-dunya in the previous surah. These are the worst kinds of disbelievers. The surah is coming to a conclusion with what it began. So, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةِ. These are the worst kinds of disbelievers. Al-Fajara. Al-Fajara means the one who disobey Allah in the worst, most, you know, violent kind of fashion. Fujur literally is to rip open. Like Fajr is called Fajr because it rips open the darkness. It tears it open, tears through, right? So Fajr, that they don't even sin, they sin openly. And they sin viciously. It's not that they violate the lines 19, you know, 99%, 100%, 1%, little bit. They violate it all the way in pride. And they put themselves out there in parades, showing, look, we disobey Allah and we're proud of it. This is Al-Fajara. Inshallah ta'ala, at the end of the surah now, we are just going to go, and keeping with our tradition, I know I'm a little bit over, how the introduction of a surah is tied to the conclusion of the surah. In the beginning of the surah, ذَكَرَ فِي أَوَّلِهَا صَنَفَيْن مِنَ النَّاسِ, we saw two kinds of people. أَمَّا مَنْ إِسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. And on the other hand, وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. We found the person who thinks is free of need, and we found the person who came running to the Prophet ﷺ in out of fear of Allah. And he's actually afraid, and he wants to take benefit to benefit himself from a reminder, and cleanse himself as a person. At the end of this surah, Allah describes what's going to happen to these two kinds of people. The cases are turned. The one who was afraid in dunya, at the end, bright smile on his face. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. He's living a life of fear now, concerned now, worried that he's not obeying Allah enough, or not cleansing himself enough, or not benefiting from the reminder enough. And at the end, big smile on his face, can't even hold his laughter back. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ, when he sees his report card. And the guy who's got a big smile on his face now, and doesn't take anything seriously, you know, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ, right? The dunya is the prison of the believer, and the jannah of the disbeliever. So the guy who had Jannah already here, how's his face looking on that day? وَوُجُوهٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. SubhanAllah, how these people began in an attempt to even humiliate and undermine the message of Islam and the work of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Allah humiliates their faces at the end. So last comment, inshallah, the humiliation of the face is the worst kind of humiliation in Arabic expression. When somebody's face is mentioned, or something negative about someone's face is mentioned, that is the worst kind of humiliation that can be mentioned in the Arabic language. So Allah insults them in the worst possible fashion towards the end as a result of their istighna. May Allah protect us from istighna and make us truly dependent on Allah in our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal benefit us from this reminder. And may Allah Azza wa Jal benefit all the gathering here. The what is learned, may Allah make it good and true and accept from us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.